Daniel Pelcher at 10 minutes past 11, getting the next plane home. He's not delayed. He's all right. It's the Homes Under the Sun Breakfast Show, Thursday edition. And this is something I've been looking forward to for a very long time. And it's taken a long time to organise, to try and get the diaries in place, to try and get everything all in a line, get the ducks in a row, cross the T's, dot the I's. It's taken a fair bit of work. First of all, a big thank you to the guys from Norwegian for not just allowing this to happen, but being so cooperative as well. They're a good bunch of PR guys, so thank you to them. This is something a little different, and I will say this off the bat. What makes this a little bit different is that it's very rare that you get the chance in this job to be able to have an interview and a proper in-depth chat with a good friend. So let's just make this straight away. This is my good friend Taz, aka Captain Towanda Chiesa. Morning, buddy.
Morning, buddy. How's it going?
It's going great. It feels very strange to have you in, a genuine, living, breathing pilot.
That's me. Yep. That's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Captain Taz.
Yep. That's me.
Now, if you look
at... strange hearing it back, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. When you do the radio, it's a little bit different. If you have a little look on the webcam right now, you'll notice that Captain Towanda is a little bit different to most of the pilots. Back in the day, you get a view of a pilot being a certain size, being a certain shape, having a certain ethnicity, having a certain sort of accent. But in the modern world, things are a little bit different. Let's be this perfectly, right? How tall are you, Taz?
173, I think, when I last measured.
So that's
probably generous.
5 foot?
5'6", 5'7", on a good day.
Okay, so he's 5'5", right? Taz is 5'5", and born in Zimbabwe. How did we get to this stage? When you're a little nipper, when you're a little ankle biter,
yep,
in Zimbabwe, what made you think one day I'm going to fly planes?
I have what you would call, you know, an auntie, but it's normally just, it's like a friend of your parents that you call aunt. You have no blood relation.
Yeah.
And she was a captain in the National Airline of Zimbabwe. And she took me one day in the flight deck, actually taken off out of Harare Airport, and showed me how it worked. And it just amazed me. And this fire caught on. I get ahead a little bit there.
How old were you then?
I was 6 years old. And that's when my love for aviation came. And my father got Microsoft, you know, one of the first computers. Microsoft Flight Simulator 95. Yeah. And bear with me here.
I'm with you.
And I remember it was a family barbecue and everyone was outside. And I was addicted to this game. I was in the house by myself, continuously trying to fly this airplane and understand it. And it's just been from then I've had this vision in my mind. Okay, I want to be a pilot. And that hasn't changed. I didn't go through the fireman's stage or whatever else. It was fixed in my head.
Because when you're 6 years of age, or let's just say you're 7 year eight, and you're at school, what do you want to be? I want to be a footballer, I want to be a cricketer, I want to be a policeman, whatever it is, to say I want to be a pilot. Did your mum or your dad or even your auntie say, look, it's an awful lot of hard work, chances are it's not going to happen? Was that dream ever dampened?
It was dampened, and the most profound dampening I had was my guidance teacher in high school, actually, when I got there in Scotland. She just told me, like, this is a very expensive course. Maybe you should consider, I think I still have the letter somewhere. You should consider another line of work, maybe. But it was that kind of dampening just gave me more encouragement to continue and say, you know what? If anything, I'm going to do this to prove you wrong.
What age did the family move from Zimbabwe to Scotland?
I was 12.
So literally we're just starting what we call secondary school. You call it high school. I think that's great. You're watching too many American films. So you come in at 12, yeah. And there's a bit of almost a reality check, because from what I remember from these sort of skills days, they probably would have said, well, you've got to go and get these grades, then you've got to go and do this, and then you've got to go and do this. It didn't put you off, but still there's a world of difference from 100,000 kids saying I want to be a pilot to actually being able to get through school and take the next step.
It's. I mean, even some pilots with a license are still sitting at home waiting for their first opportunity for a job, which is a shame. But it took a lot of sacrifice from my parents. It took a lot of sacrifice from the whole family to make the dream actually come true. And it's something I will never forget. It's a lot of work.
So you come out at 16, yeah. You finish the school, and that pilot dream was still alive. Did you have to specify exact sort of grades, exact sort of courses to be able to move on to that next level?
I'll tell you a little secret, actually.
Okay.
Not many people know this.
Shh.
I actually failed high school maths and high school physics.
You can't do maths?
No.
Okay. All right.
However, I think the most important thing that I have discovered in my little time in the aviation industry is it's more about aptitude and attitude, and therefore your ability, than about grades, upbringing, anything else. The most important is the attitude you bring to work with you on that day, and the dedication, because it is about how you can do it.
Okay, we'll go and come to what the actual nuts and bolts involved being a pilot a little later on here. So I just want to get this timeline right. So you've left school at 16.
Mm-hmm.
Then what? So what happens then?
I left school in Scotland. I went to, well, it was actually 18. 17.999, shall we say, because what actually happened, when I got my start date in university, if I was born a day later, I would have had to wait another year to
right.
start the course, because I turned 18 on my first day in the uni. But anyway, I went to university, studied aviation management and operations. My beloved parents, all about the backup plan.
Yeah, so they were, because financially, we're talking about a real commitment here, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, yeah. They wanted to be sure that I was sure. So, okay, we did that. I enjoyed it. My time in London was absolutely fantastic. I would never replace it. I grew up fast. Being 18 years old, living alone in London is...
That'll do it for you.
Yeah.
How long was the course?
2 years in total. 1 year was the foundation. So this was aviation management, marketing, all the rest of this stuff, how airlines work.
So you're not just... So when you're taking this course, it's not just a two-year course to teach you how to fly a plane. It's not just going through the dynamics of that. It's also showing you how the airline will work, how the airline has the future, how the airline needs to grow.
If you choose to do this course, yes. You can just go to flight school and treat it like a driving school where they just teach you the mechanics of it. But I chose this university course. I'd actually got an offer from a Glasgow uni about a computers course, but I decided not to do that. But anyway, this course gives you a bit of background into the airline industry, and it's stuff that really holds me in good stead today.
Yeah, because if you see enough of these flight crash simulation, these investigations, one of the themes that crops up from time to time is on the smaller airlines, particularly in America maybe, is the amount of pressures that pilots are under because of financial constraints. If this plane doesn't land in a certain airport, if it doesn't take off at a certain time, there's an awful lot of financial management which can affect a pilot's decision. So I'm guessing by having that understanding, that makes you a better pilot?
No, it gives me a background into how the airline works.
Doesn't change your point of view?
No, because...
Okay.
I'll tell you about it later on.
All right.
Talk about the pilot stuff. There's three steps I take in a decision.
Okay, and, but having the understanding of how the airline worked, though, that was preferable for you rather than just going straight in and getting in the simulator and trying
exactly,
to work around.
Yeah, it lets you understand why the management might make a decision, or how to deal with people, or what motivates people and things like this. It gives you just perspective. It gives you a bigger picture.